I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
Sorry about that. Good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show. This is your host, Mike Madison, trying to figure out his board this morning. This is your safe space every day from 9 to 11 o'clock. 2 hours of independent thinking here on the radio. And so I thank you for joining me on that today. We got a ton of stuff to go over. Today's Friday, so we're going to take some time, do what we normally do on Fridays, which is from 10 to around 10:30. We're going to do a little segment called False Flag Friday. You know, I thought I was going to avoid that segment, to be honest with you. But the war drums, we've got a really bizarre story. Let me just put it that way. The war machine keeps on churning, and this is a time where we need to be especially vigilant, because when the people at home are unhappy, when they are in the middle of some level of chaos, that is when we really need to be careful, and we're going to find out today what's going on around the world. Coronavirus is 24/7 around here, so it's time to look around and see what's going on. Some very, very ominous signs in there. And then I do not have a whole lot. I usually finish up every Friday show on kind of a lighter note, I guess you would consider, a look back at the week on the lunatic left, where I get plenty of clips. And I'll be honest with you, we make fun of exactly what's going on the left. I don't have a whole lot of those clips today, but boy, I have got one very, very bizarre thing that I saw this week when it comes to the race for the presidential nomination on the Democratic side. This is the weirdest one I think I've ever covered, so we'll do that to end up the show. To be honest, I've got so much different stuff to do. Today, the spigots got turned on. According to Treasury Secretary, former Goldman Sachs banker Steve Mnuchin, the spigots are open and the banks are originating small business loans today. I don't think any of the checks, I believe the checks for the people start on maybe the 6th. Or is it next Friday? But they've turned on the spigots. Everybody got into the queue yesterday. A very British term, I think, or a European term for standing in line. Businesses have spent the last week readying their paperwork, going, consulting with their bankers, getting on top of this. And then apparently at 12:01 this morning, they were supposed to turn on the spigots and allow all the paperwork processing for the small business loans to go out. This is going to turn out to be one of the most ever abused plans. They originally had budgeted, I believe, I forget my numbers. They're so overwhelming across the board. Maybe $500 billion, is that correct, for small business relief? Another $350 billion for, you know, the individual checks going out. Steve Mnuchin tweeted this morning that $400 billion has already been originated through the banks, and the program. The mechanics of it actually started rolling out at 12:01 this morning. I'm not sure if I still have that up on my screen here to see. No, I don't. But what time his tweet went out. But within the first, I guess, several hours of this, they were originating $30 to $40 billion per hour of loans. I had seen yesterday they were looking for some level of real catastrophe when it comes to rolling this thing out. Many of the banks were not really sure. Here's a story from yesterday. There's just one problem. Within hours to go until millions of small businesses across the nation scramble to apply for much-needed funding, the program appears to be on the verge of collapse. Amid what appears to be sheer chaos between the Treasury, the Small Business Administration, and the various commercial banks that have been tasked to loan the money, one reason why the program is woefully unprepared for a Friday midnight rollout is that banks haven't underwritten SBA loans before will need to be onboarded to the system. And it goes on and on. And this is taking place, particularly with some of the smaller community banks. This was Kayla Tauchi went on to CNBC, and she said an official familiar with the Paycheck Protection Program loans rolling out tomorrow say official guidance for banks is not yet finalized, with Kayla Tauchi adding that in addition to general guidance, banks are asking Treasury for two specific changes to the small business program. Smaller banks want higher interest rates so they don't lose money. And big banks want to know your customer rules waived so they can lend to companies they have never worked with. So this whole thing is going to be quite an incredible rollout. We're going to see exactly what happens. If you're believing Steven Mnuchin, you know, the former Goldman Sachs banker who is currently our Treasury Secretary, if his tweets are to be believed, they've got $400 billion out. This, what I'm reading here in this story says that they originally had $350 billion $350 billion allocated for the small business program and a first-come, first-served loan. So to you small business owners, you may be out of luck already, according to Steven Mnuchin's numbers. Now, there's a lot of analysts out there that are expecting actually $1 trillion, $1 trillion in requests to be made from this. I have talked to several small business owners myself who will be taking advantage of this, and I actually encourage them. You know, this is a kind of a tricky place for a libertarian. And the reason is because, you know, we do a lot of pontificating about the fact that the government spending and government programs and the size of the government and personal responsibility. And the problem is, if the government comes in and creates a problem for you, then they're the only people that really need to pay up for it. And also, I make the point often that government's picking your pockets on a daily basis. Every single year you're in business through regulation and taxation and fines and fees and registrations and licensure. And so they already are an ankle around, a weight around the ankle of every small business, and now they have shut you down. And we're going to talk later on today and probably for the weeks to come about this response. I tell you, it gets weirder and weirder every single day. This is some draconian stuff, but it's hurting small businesses. I'm really cheering for them. I encourage people, make sure that you, if you have any money, please don't be sending it to political campaigns right now. For the love of God, I don't care if you love Trump and want to be his BFF, don't send his campaign any money. Save some money here. Spend $50. Go out and buy a restaurant gift certificate. Your Pie, as a matter of fact, I'm going to bring them up because I am really cheering for them, and they are having a tough time, as are all restaurants. They are open today as their last day that they will have their doors open for, you know, it's a nice day to sit outside. My son and I went over there the other day and sat outside and had great Your Pie lunch. They're open today. They'll be open for carry out going forward. But these are the kinds of businesses where people need to keep their powder dry and help them get through this. There's also news on the checks going out. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if you've seen some of the problems that they're having getting the money pushed out to the American people, but we could have some serious civil unrest on our hands before this thing's all over. The problem is we have no idea when this ends. We were told Easter at one point, that's not going to happen. That's quite obvious now. We're given these 2 weeks shelter-in-place things. I don't know that these 2 weeks are going to not be extended. 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks after that, at some point, Americans are going to bust out. But It's quite a mess. We'll talk a little bit about the personal checks going out and the hurdles that they've got there and the problems that that might cause. And then we're going to look at, you know, I appreciate anybody who has tried to help me naming this segment as I narrate the bailouts as they happen live time. Now, if they had passed bailout bills where they gave small business owners and individuals in the United States some of their money back, see, I do not consider that a government giveaway. I consider that a reclamation of your own property that the government has stolen from you. If they had passed those bills, then I'm fine with people getting something. If the government causes the problem, then they need to release some of that money that they have absconded with over years before. It's one of the reasons that Americans are in such a precarious financial situation is the government strips you 30% of your wealth every year. It's no surprise nobody has an emergency fund to weather something like this. But outside of that, the actual bailout bills, the banker bailout bills. And look, a lot of this money going out to small businesses right now is designed to bail out the banks. because business owners will be using this to pay rent to landlords who owe mortgages to the banks, or business owners who own property that they operate out of. And they will use this new funds to pay their mortgage payment to the banks. Big corporations that we're going to get to in just a second with some of the bigger bailouts. Those things are going to the banks. This is a banker bailout. It is just disguised as some kind of populist giveaway for a government that just loves its people. And I'm afraid conservatives are very asleep at the wheel on this one. And I'm going to talk about that, too, again in False Flag Friday. What we're seeing right now, if Obama was implementing some of the things that were going on right now, if they were going on under the Obama administration, conservatives would be up in arms. Rightfully. They should be. But unfortunately, because this is happening under Donald Trump, we've decided that it's all okay. He must know what he's doing. I'm going to get to a little bit of this bailout stuff. And while I said started to say thank you for people who have helped contribute, but I think I'm just going to call the segment The Great American Screwjob, because that's what it's going to end up being. We are seeing a reshaping of the American financial system into something different. We were clinging to little vestiges of capitalism out there for, particularly for the small, maybe the medium-sized business, large corporations, the banking system, the financial elites left capitalism a long time ago, formally in 2008. They decided that it was capitalism on the way up when they were getting the spoils of rising markets and endless debt creation, but it was socialism for them when it was time to absorb the losses, and that's why they were bailed out. They left capitalism formally in 2008. Now small businesses are unfortunately being sucked into this machine as well. But we're going to take a look at, there's a new industry that's rearing its head. There's some meetings going to go on this weekend with another industry for another handout, which is going to be another bailout. And the nefarious thing about this one is that you're going to bail this industry out directly. It's not probably going to come from the government, so it'll kind of be hidden. It's a stealth bailout, but you're going to end up paying for it. I'll show you on the other side of this break. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. If you have anything to add to this. I mean, I'm kind of on an island here. I don't think I have the same opinion everybody else does. This response to what's going on, I think a lot of people are upset about these lockdowns, don't quite understand it. The numbers don't seem to bear out that we should be doing what we're doing. But again, I think a lot of people are kind of asleep at the switch there, because now, this is a rollout of a different form of government for us. I don't think people really fully appreciate that. Now, does it snap right back and life goes back to normal? I got to tell you, I've got my doubts. But we're just going to have to keep an eye on that and see exactly what takes place. But I cannot sit by here and watch what's going on with the money that's being spent and not call it out. This is supposed to be conservative radio. If we just decided that everything's okay with turning on the spigots because we got a Goldman Sachs guy in charge of the Treasury because he's Trump's guy, I'm supposed to just ignore this? You know, they're talking about bailing out all these industries, and I just got to keep making this. Why do you think they want to bail out the airlines? I mean, just think about this logically. If you've lived on this planet and in this country for any period of time, you've seen airlines go bankrupt, right? They go bankrupt. And through some chapters of bankruptcy, I think Chapter 11, you can continue operating. You know what happens when you operate under Chapter 11 bankruptcy, though? You might lose a few of your hubs. I mean, there's some possibility that a stronger airline may take some of your market share, but that's business. The airline that takes some of your market share runs the routes that you have to dump. But you can run under Chapter 7, 11 bankruptcy as an airline. You know who loses in that situation? Well, people who loaned the airline money. They might default on their debt. And who is that? Who loans airlines money? Banks. So the bailout of the airlines is not to keep planes in the air for our infrastructure and the healing of our economy. No, they can go into Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The stronger will survive and get better. Upstarts will come. Southwest is a relatively new airline on the scene. And what they did was they started an airline. They had very low rates. They did this assigned seating thing. They did some things very different, kind of went viral with some stuff. Their owner was a pretty popular, was it Herb Kelleher or something like that? That's capitalism. You compete with stuff. But the reason that the airlines are being bailed out is because they owe the banks a ton of money. Has nothing to do. Don't let them get away with this. Well, we have to bail the airlines out because they're an integral part of the U.S. economy. Well, then maybe they shouldn't have spent 96% of their free cash flow for the last 10 years buying back their own stock. If they're that integral and so important, then maybe they should have thought about how important they are and saved a little money for a rainy day. And this is the same for everything else. Cruise lines. They're talking about bailing out the cruise lines. They don't even pay U.S. taxes or hire U.S. workers. Going to bail out the cruise lines. I'm not sure if they got their taste in this first round of stimulus bill, but trust me, they will. Money will make it to the cruise lines. And why? Not because they're taxpayers, not because they provide American jobs. And I love cruises. I have a great time on cruises. If they get bailed out, it's because they're threatening to default on the banks. The banks have loaned them money. They've got credit lines at the banks. You got to bail them out, even though they're not a taxpayer, even though they don't hire American workers. We got to bail out the cruise lines because they owe a bunch of money to the banks. And if the cruise lines don't pay back the banks might fail. This is all banker bailout. And now we've got another one coming up in just a second. This weekend, as a matter of fact, well, I'll just go ahead and play this clip. There's another industry that is on deck for the next round of stimulus. And I'm not sure, the government may do some bailing out of this industry, but I have a feeling, a sneaking suspicion, that you and I are going to be the ones that directly bail these companies out.
Well, look, we have a great oil industry, and the oil industry is being ravaged. And as you know, Russia, and I spoke to President Putin, we had a great call. Russia, Saudi Arabia, I spoke with the Crown Prince, we had a great call. But I think that they will work it out over the next few days if you ask me. I think it's just, it's too simple not to be able to. They both know what they have to do.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar exactly what he's talking about there. Russia and Saudi Arabia are in a price war on oil. They're pumping a ton when the world doesn't need it. Demand has gone through the floor. Supply is going up. That's why you've got such low oil prices right now, around $20 a barrel. What Trump is attempting to do is he's trying to get them to work this out so that they can raise the price of a barrel of oil because it's hurting some oil manufacturers. Now, when prices are $60, $80, $90 a barrel, nobody seems to have a problem with that. I mean, you and I take it on the chin for that, right? Gas prices go up. The American people have to pay increase. No, everything's fine then. No intervention needed. No anything. But boy, the price gets too low and it starts hurting the oil companies. And again, this is largely for the shale producers more than anybody else. And do you know why they don't want the shale companies to go? And look, God loves shale companies. Knock yourself out. I hope it works out. I hope you're profitable. I hope, and I want to see the jobs created and all that stuff. But do you know why they want to bail out the shale company and the oil industry? Because the shale producers are massively in debt. I'm talking about they are leveraged to the hilt because they've never truly been profitable. So if the shale industry goes under, what happens? That's right. They default on their loans to the banks. I'm going to let Trump keep going. And just keep in mind, what President Trump is talking about right now is he wants to see the price of a gallon of gasoline go up. This is at a time where Americans are getting crushed financially by what's happening due to the government shutdown. But they're trying to get the price of gasoline at the pump, the price of a barrel of oil, to go up.
So I think I have confidence in both that they'll be able to work it out. But it's it has ravaged an industry worldwide, not here. I mean, worldwide, the oil industry has been ravaged. So there was a lot of oil production to start off with. And then on top of it, it got hit with the virus and business went down 35-40%. So that business is a tough one. And, you know, they have ships all over the sea. I told you yesterday, all over the sea, massive tankers that they're using for storage. They go out and they just sit there. There's no place to go. They have massive amounts. Now, gasoline is going to be 99 cents a gallon and less. You know that. That's already starting. It's popping up. 99 cents. So that's like giving a massive tax cut to people of our country. When we try and get the airlines going, if fuel is costing much less, it helps with getting the airlines, which is always a tough business, always has been a tough business. But with that being said, look, I want to get that industry back where it was. We were doing records in that industry also. We want to get it back to where it was. So I think that Saudi Arabia, Russia, they're negotiating, they're talking, and I think they'll come up with something. I'm going to meet with the oil companies on Friday.
There it is. That's today. There are meetings between the oil companies and Donald Trump today. What do you think it is they're talking about? What do you think the oil companies are asking for? Well, I'll tell you in just a second.
I meet with independent oil producers also on Friday or Saturday, maybe Sunday. But we're having a lot of meetings on it. I think I know what to do to solve it. But if they're unable to solve it, then I think I know what to do to solve it. We don't want to lose our great oil companies. You know, we're the number one producer of oil in the world. But I do believe there's a way that that can be solved or pretty well solved, and I'd rather not do that. I think that Russia and Saudi Arabia at some point are going to make a deal in the not-too-distant future because it's very bad for Russia. It's very bad for Saudi Arabia. It's very bad. I mean, it's bad for both, so I think they're going to make a deal. You know, the free market is a wonderful thing. It's amazing how yeah. It can work.
The free market. The free market, what is that? You know what the free market is? If they pump a bunch of oil and nobody's buying it because demand has gone down, then prices go down. So let them stay down. It benefits Americans right now. We don't have these press conferences. The oil companies aren't coming to the White House when oil is $80 a barrel and Americans are paying $2.50, $3 a gallon. They don't come to the White House and go, hey, you know what? We kind of feel like we're really stretching the American people by charging them $2.50 or $3 a gallon of gas. We're thinking that maybe we should slash prices. I mean, you know what I'm saying? When times are good for them, they just roll in the dough. It doesn't go to the Treasury. There's no freedom dividend of buy 10 gallons and get 1 gallon free. No, everything's fine then. But if the free market an oversupply and declining demand actually rears its head and prices go down, they're there for a bailout. This is from Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, former Goldman Sachs banker. He says, our expectation is the energy companies, like all other companies, will be able to participate in broad-based facilities, whether it's the corporate facility or whether it's the Main Street facility, but not direct lending out of the Treasury. Anyway, he's saying, oh, yeah, the Fed's perfectly situated to bail out the oil companies now. Now, Trump sent out a tweet yesterday. He sent out a tweet that said, just spoke to my friend MBS, Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, who spoke with President Putin in Russia, and expect and hope that they will be cutting back approximately 10 million barrels and maybe substantially more, which, if it happens, will be great for the oil and gas industry. That's true. Pretty crappy for the American people. You would think we could catch one little break, maybe cheap, I mean, even though there's nowhere to go right now. Maybe kind of nice to have very inexpensive gasoline when you're going through a catastrophic economic turndown. But here's the thing. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is saying that, oh, the Fed will bail out the oil companies. But you know who's really going to bail them out? I don't know what Trump is. He's talked cryptically in that clip. He said, I think I know what to do. I don't want to do it, but I think I know what to do. What is that? Price controls? He's going to fix the U.S. oil industry by raising the price of a barrel of oil. And yes, that'll help the industry. Look, the industry, if they'd saved any money, the price of a barrel of oil is not going to stay at $20 for years and years and years. If they had taken profits from the past, saved some money, then when profits go down, You're situated for that. But did you just notice how we just can't catch a break? And a month ago, when oil was trading around $50 to $60 a barrel, had come down from the high 60s into the maybe low 50s, Trump said on a tweet, he said, oil prices coming down, great, like a great tax cut for the American people. He sent out a tweet about this, cheering low oil prices. Oh, but we can't have them this low. This is just too low. So I guess the tax cut goes away. And I'll also tell you this. I'm going to kind of go after Donald Trump today. Just be prepared. Not because I have Trump derangement syndrome, but I don't like these things. I do not like all this massive spending. I don't like price controls. I don't like meddling in free markets. This is a Russia and Saudi Arabia issue. I'm sorry that the shale industry is hurting. That's business. But Trump sent that tweet out yesterday, saying that he had spoken to MBS and to Russia, and he expect they will be cutting back approximately 10 million barrels and maybe substantially more. And oil prices shot up like 25% immediately after that tweet. Now, Russia and Saudi Arabia at the time said they didn't really know what he was talking about, that there weren't plans to do that. But do you think anybody in the White House might have known this tweet was going out? Any possibility that maybe, possibly, somebody was able to make a trade on that little tweet coming out? I would call this market manipulation under Barack Obama. And I'm not saying that Trump himself personally benefited from this, but he's surrounded by a bunch of Wall Street elitists. And boy, I'll tell you, if I got wind that this tweet was going out and might move oil markets, it sure would be a great time to get in and buy. You made a 25% return just yesterday, and this happens all the time. And there was apparently no substance behind that particular tweet, but it did move the markets in big ways. I wouldn't let Barack Obama get away with that. I'm not going to let Donald Trump. It looks like it just looks bad. It's bad optics. Anyway, we'll come back. We're going to continue with this. There's some other rollout news on these bailouts. Look, I'm just telling you, we are remaking the U.S. financial system right now in front of your face. And where are my conservatives? Where are the conservatives who should be outraged at what's going on right now? I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me.
All right,
so
we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and I am not happy. I feel like the only person that's willing to bring up the very inconvenient fact that we are watching the systematic dismantling of our financial system and the bankrupting of the United States. It's kind of funny to me. You know, all the headlines right now are about the small business lending program started last night. According to Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker who is running this operation, $400 billion has already gone out. The checks we're going to talk about in just a second. I want to remind everybody that while the plumbing on some of these programs seems to be a little gummed up, very difficult to pump out all this money to small businesses quickly because they need it quickly, and to citizens who need it quickly, the mechanism's not there for that. But you know what the mechanism is there for, right? The Federal Reserve pumping tons and tons and tons, I mean trillions of dollars into the banks. Last week they were buying like $60 billion a day in corporate bonds, which they didn't used to do. really, I guess the key right now is just go form yourself a nice little corporation. The Fed's buying a bunch of corporate bonds. Just go form a corporation. I guess you got to get a rating of somehow. I'm being sarcastic about it, but if Americans want to get money fast, be a mega corporation or one of the big money center banks, because they're getting money pumped to them every day for the last 11 years. There's no problem with the plumbing there. The money flows freely there. Struggling to get it to the American people, but they're always in there. They are reporting now, originally they were saying that checks to the American people, these direct deposits to people who have got direct deposit on record with the IRS, checks are supposed to go out the week of April 6th, which is next week. It's looking like now it may be the week of April 13th. And what's even worse, it could be as long as 20 weeks for the stimulus checks to go out to people who need a printed check because they do not have their direct deposit on file with the IRS. 20 weeks. What is that, October? October, these checks are going to be going out to some people? And I don't know how many people do direct deposit with the IRS. I haven't seen numbers on that. But I have worked with a lot of entry-level employees that are non-banking people. A lot of people who need this money worse than anybody else in our society don't even have bank accounts. So they certainly aren't in line to get this direct deposit in the next couple of weeks. Do you mean to tell me? I mean, tell me what happens societally. When the entry-level people, the first people to be laid off in this catastrophe of what we're seeing right now, are told, just hang in there. If you can just hang on for 20 weeks, we're going to send you $1,200. Absolutely amazing. So I had an idea. As they keep backing these things up, again, I say the plumbing seems to really be clogged in getting money to the American people and to the small mom-and-pop business. Although there's a super highway to get cash to the big banks and to the mega corporations. They've been using it every day for 11 years. And we've just whistled past the graveyard and called this the greatest economy in the history of the world. Don't mind they're running the printing press and shoving cash at the biggest financial interest in the country. Don't pay attention to that. Yeah, we didn't used to do it, but we do it now, and it's normal. That's what makes a great economy, is printing up trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. The plumbing to the big corporations and the elite financial interest, that's fine. That's working great without a hitch. Do you know when the repo problem happened, the overnight funding markets? Do you know how long it took the Fed to inject money into that system? Hours. They got money into that system to shore up the banks in hours. They'd never done it before. Funny how that works, isn't it? They can figure out how to do that really quickly. The overnight lending rate spiked to like 10%. It's usually just, you know, portions of 1% because it's only an overnight loan. And it spiked to like 10%. And I think it was the same night. When they saw that spike in interest rates, they immediately interjected. And I want to say it was $60 billion. I can't remember exactly. It might have been less than that. But that night, if it wasn't the night that interest rate spiked, and I'm pretty sure it was. Like, I'm talking about within hours, maybe minutes of seeing that, they flooded the banks with money to fix that problem. But for the poor American, and no, you didn't just tune into some left-wing radio show. I'm just telling you. I'm for small, limited government, conservative. I hate all the social programs. I can't stand the welfare state and all that stuff. But if you... The money that's flowing to the moneyed interest in this country, and then to think that the poorest people in this country got to wait 20 weeks to get their check, is absolutely stunning. Now, I had an idea about this, though, as I saw them backing up all of these things. Checks are going out on the... Actually, I think the first promises on this that Steven Mnuchin made, the former Goldman Sachs banker who's currently running the Treasury Department, I believe the first checks were supposed to go out last Friday. When he first started talking about the stimulus, you know, he made a lot of things. We need to get money out to the people. We need to get it out now. And I think last Friday was the first thing he said was he hoped to have people by last Friday. Now it's been April 6th. Now they're saying it's April 13th. For people on paper checks, it could be 20 weeks before you get your money. I say the American people, we do something. We use their own playbook against them. Why don't we set a deadline for them of April 15th. How about that, huh? Everybody's familiar with the April 15th deadline, right? You were told, slave, that you have until April 15th to get all of your paperwork together and to pay what you owe. And should you be a day past April 15th, you will begin immediately incurring penalties and interest, which will accelerate for the period of time that it takes you after April 15th, slave, to pay them. Why don't we impose an April 15th deadline on the Treasury Department that says you get us our money by April 15th, and if you don't, we're immediately going to slap some penalties and interest on that money beginning immediately. See, actually, we've forgotten this. We're the government. You ever heard that saying? I don't know what it was. Maybe it was in a pamphlet somewhere or something. Government for the people, by the people. You know, we are the government. We forget that because we're treated as children or employees of the government. We're bossed around a lot. But actually, we're the bosses. So why don't we tell them, No 20 weeks for a paper check. You figure it out. See, when you run into a paperwork snafu or your hard drive crashes or you can't find those receipts in that April 15th deadline, you don't get a whole, hey, going to need a little bit more time. This was a little more difficult than I thought. I had a good year last year. Got a lot of stuff to get together. Didn't do, you know, whatever. There's no excuses. April 15th. Penalties and interest to begin immediately should you not. So why don't we, as the bosses, impose the same thing on them? So if they don't pay you by April 15th, what do we say? I say 35% penalty. See, that takes place that time, right? About a third. That seems about what the IRS does. Their penalties are huge. I don't know if you've ever... I was recounted the story before. Peter Schiff didn't file a form. They charged him something like $213,000. He ended up successfully, you know, he had to go out and hire some tax attorneys and hire some regular attorneys and go to court, and he got that reversed. It only cost him, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000 in legal fees to get that reversed. They tried to charge him $213,000 for not filing a form, and that form actually was a replicate form of another form that he had already filed, so they already had all the information. It's just that he didn't file that form. So I say a 35% penalty if they don't get you your money by April 15th. You can figure out. I hadn't done the math. So that's the bottom line of the check you should receive then. Plus, I don't know, let's set the interest. What should it be? 2% a month? Compounding? I mean, at least make this worth it. Again, remembering we are the bosses. And we'll see how they respond to threats from us. Now, I dare to dream. We won't do this. We're helpless children, and we've forgotten who's in charge. But I just thought it was an interesting intellectual exercise that seems to make some sense for me, because that April 15th deadline, oh, but Mike, they extended it this year. Oh, my heroes. They said they're not going to mug us on April 15th this year. They're going to mug us on July 15th this year instead. Oh, my heroes. Well, I say we give them no extension. They've had time. They've had a few weeks. They can figure out how to get us our money. They figure out how to take it. They should be able to reverse engineer this thing and pump the money right back out. But they won't. And we won't. And this is going to be a disaster. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I'll tell you, I probably don't even really want to do all this bailout stuff. If somebody else were doing it, maybe I wouldn't have to. But I feel like, you know, I watched during the Obama administration 8 years of essentially a media stand-down order. Obama's presidency was full of scandals, yet the media reports when he leaves it was pretty much a scandal-free administration. I mean, I don't have time to go into it. I only got a few minutes in this segment. Fast and Furious, the IRS situation. I mean, there was just the Barack Obama administration was just full of scandal and corruption. But there was a media stand-down order apparently issued that said, don't cover any of this stuff. I don't know if they tried to justify, he's our first black president. We can't smear him. We can't go after him aggressively. We'll look like a bunch of racists. I don't know what it was, or just a plot by the left and the left-wing media to let him get away with what he got away with. And part of what he got away with was bailing out bankers for his entire administration. And leftists and liberals are too dumb to realize he was doing it because the media stood down and just allowed it to happen. Well, I see a stand-down order on the right now. I didn't get the memo, apparently. And it's a Trump stand-down order. Trump's in charge. You just these things that would have been just abhorrent under Barack Obama are just not even talked about. And I'm watching this remaking of the U.S. financial system, this complete shutdown. If this shutdown happened under Barack Obama, conservatives would be in the streets. They wouldn't put up with it for a minute. But here we are. Because the stand-down order is out there. He knows what he's doing. Now, I know this isn't all Trump, but, I mean, the federal government's leading the charge on the reaction we're seeing right now and on the bailouts. And there's headlines like this coming out. President Trump and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi are looking at rolling back some of the more controversial pieces of the 2017 tax overhaul. I mean, Trump and Pelosi are working on more bailout stuff together. One thing that's just funny, I was reading from a story earlier about the clogs in, you know, getting the people their checks on time. We're not sure if they can do the direct deposit. 20 weeks till the, you know, anybody gets a paper check. Maybe 20 weeks till you get your check. The end of the story was kind of the kicker. I don't want to leave it out. It says, which is ironic. Back in September 2008, all the banks demanded multi-trillion-dollar taxpayer-funded bailouts right this instant as the world was going to implode if a few banks went under. However, now that the tables are flipped and mainstream America and half of the private sector employees demanded a similar turnaround time or else the U.S. economy would truly collapse, banks suddenly think that taking their time, dotting the I's and crossing the T's is far more important than getting money into the hands of the American workers. And I talked yesterday about the fact that former Treasury Secretary and I believe another Goldman Sachs guy under George W. Bush came into Congress and said, if you don't bail out the banks and you don't bail out the big corporations right now, it's going to be martial law in this country. And that TARP bailout and everything else, those bailouts were signed within days. They were meeting during the weekend, and by Monday, against 80% of Americans were against these bailouts in 2008, yet they did them anyway, and they did them within days. Do you just not see this? I mean, am I the only one noticing this? Or am I just the only one that will talk about it? I'm just not read into the program where we're supposed to ignore all the socialism going on right now. And when I get to my next segment, I'm telling you, I was kind of surprised I even had stuff to work with on a false flag Friday stuff today. Yeah, I cannot believe what they're about to try to pull. This is a red light siren warning alert for what is taking place right now on the military side of things while we are not paying attention. This is a bad one. This is a bad one. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We'll be right back.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Friday. End of a weekend. I mean, does it feel like Friday to anybody? I would imagine there's a lot of people out there that are losing track of what day it is of the week. We got a weekend coming up, but this is maybe the most meaningless weekend that has existed in my lifetime. You want to talk about same old, well, just shelter in place, people. I do this segment on Fridays called False Flag Fridays. If you're new to the show, what I do is explain the fact that we're lied into wars, deceived into taking actions across the world to build this empire that we've built. And we got a really weird one going on right now. A really bizarre one is taking place, and I fear where this thing is headed. I'll get to that in just a second. You know, the response to this coronavirus feels like a massive false flag. Now, I think the virus is real, and it's a health threat to a lot of people. It's pretty nasty, and I say that from some personal experience, not having gotten it myself, but being close to somebody who did get it, and it wrecked their health. Somebody that has gotten the flu before, but this took her down for, you know, about 6 weeks. And I'll be honest with you, I hadn't talked to her this week. I don't know if she's out of it yet, and it would be 7 or 8 weeks into it now. But it's hard to imagine people that would create a plan like what's going on around the world, but it feels so creepy. This seems so draconian in the response that it does make you wonder exactly what in the world is going on. And I'm worried about what the world's going to be like on the other side of this thing. I mean, economies across the world are crashing. There's all kinds of Orwellian control stuff. I don't have Drudge pulled up, but even some of the headlines on Drudge Report today are, you know, $1,000 fine for walking outside your door in some cities. Old man got arrested yesterday. Google's collecting a bunch of data on us to see how we're reacting to this stuff. It's just bizarro world, and we're taking this massive lurch to the left right now with all of the bailouts and the checks to people, and how many people are going to be still on, you know, universal basic income when we come out of this. I mean, it's changing. It is changing our country. And I'm afraid my conservative brothers and sisters out there are asleep at the wheel on this one. I've been told by many of them to just relax. It's all going according to plan. This is going to, you know, this financial collapse is going to usher in this great new, I need some evidence of that. I hope they're right. I can't wait to come on this show and go, boy, I missed it entirely. Boy, was I wrong. But until that point, I feel like conservatives, just think about what's going on right now. Now, look, this is Trump administration, and I think there is some distinction between the Trump administration and Donald Trump himself. Let me go ahead and clarify that now so people understand. A lot of snowflakes out there on the Trump team don't like it when I say anything that might call into question what's going on from the federal government right now. Trump is surrounded by swamp creatures. But look at what's happened right now, and I'm going to phrase it to you this way. If you're a conservative, somebody who considers themselves a patriot or a constitutionalist, imagine if you were seeing what's going on right now under the Obama administration. If Obama had shut down the economy, I don't think conservatives would stand for it. I don't know exactly what you would have done, but I can guarantee you, you would have been questioning your government. If Obama had introduced trillions of dollars of bailouts to the big banks and sending checks to everybody, even people that have not been affected by this, conservatives would not stand for it. If Obama had instituted sweeping changes to our way of life, I don't think conservatives would have put up with it. And if Obama had fired a Navy captain for speaking out about a virus on his ship, as happened yesterday with the Navy commander who was talking about the coronavirus, and he didn't have anywhere to treat his troops. He couldn't quarantine them somewhere. Troops were cheering for him. If that had happened under Barack Obama's administration, conservatives would be up in arms. And I just think that people are asleep. I think absolutely people are asleep. There's a faith that Donald Trump knows exactly what he's doing and that he's in charge. I don't think he's in charge of everything. I don't know if he hadn't been hoodwinked by this whole thing. That he's got a bunch of snakes around him. We know that. And they're not just Obama holdovers. He hired a bunch of the snakes. And anyway, it gets even worse than that. Look, I'm telling you, when there's turbulent times at home, if these checks don't go out for 20 weeks to some people, if this lockdown continues, if the economy continues to deteriorate, people are going to be unhappy here. Now, they've figured out a way to keep us from taking to the streets, which is ordering us to stay home. But in times like that, they will seek to divert your attention away from the troubles at home by anyone starting wars. There's been a lot of saber rattling with Iran. I saw a headline today, cyber accusations. Western intelligence sources see heightened aggressive Iranian cyber espionage during times of major international crises. This is your Western intelligence agencies, the people that lead us to war after war after war. Now, I'm not saying Iran's not doing that. There's no way to tell. But I certainly don't just trust some statement from Western intelligence services. Trump tweeted this on Iran a couple of days ago, upon information and belief. Iran or its proxies are planning a sneak attack on U.S. troops and or assets in Iraq. If this happens, Iran will pay a very heavy price indeed. And this is based on, you know, some report Trump was briefed on, and Mike Pompeo's come out and said that the Iranians are planning to attack our troops in Iraq. And it's just so funny to me that nobody really seems to pay attention, but Mike Pompeo and his ilk are responding to troops that are in Iraq. You want to get the troops not to be attacked by Iran in Iraq? Get them out of Iraq. But anyway, watch for these Iranian headlines. But it gets even worse than that. I played this clip, I think, last week. There's been this... There's sealed indictments in Washington, D.C. Tens of thousands of sealed indictments. They're about to bring down the deep state and arrest all the players. Well, they unsealed some indictments last week. I won't hype it like I did last time. But they unsealed some indictments last week. But it wasn't Hillary Clinton. It wasn't John Podesta. It wasn't James Comey. It wasn't Peter Strzok. It wasn't Andrew McCabe or Rod Rosenstein. It wasn't Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton. It wasn't Ghislaine Maxwell, the madam of the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking ring. That story's just disappeared, you've noticed. No, it was this.
Today I'm here to talk about the former Maduro regime and its direct participation in narco-terrorism, corruption, money laundering, and drug trafficking. As you will hear, the Department of Justice is announcing the unsealing of a superseding indictment filed in the Southern District of New York against four defendants, including Nicolas Maduro, as well as the current head of Venezuela's Constituent Assembly, the former director of military intelligence, and a former high-ranking general for their involvement in narco-terrorism.
So there you go. So nothing about our corruption here. I guess those indictments are still sealed. These people operate with impunity in our country. But we're going after Venezuela. Well, that was bad enough. I almost thought it was comical last week that finally some indictments are unsealed. And it's not any of our corrupt people. It's Maduro. But it got worse this week. Trump opened up one of his press conferences on coronavirus, the coronavirus task force, with this.
The United States is launching enhanced counter-narcotics operations in the Western Hemisphere to protect the American people from the deadly scourge of illegal narcotics. We must not let the drug cartels exploit the pandemic to threaten American lives. In cooperation with the 22 partner nations,
ding, ding, ding.
U.S. Southern Command will increase surveillance, disruption, and seizures of drug shipments and provide additional support for eradication efforts, which are going on right now at a record pace. We're deploying additional Navy destroyers, combat ships, aircraft and helicopters, Coast Guard cutters, and Air Force surveillance aircraft, doubling our capabilities in the region. Secretary Mark Esper, Attorney General Bill Barr, National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien will provide more details. In addition, I'm going to have General Milley, who's done an incredible job so many ways.
So there you go. So a Trump press conference on the coronavirus, which is destroying the United States as we speak, was led off by this enhanced drug interdiction thing. Yeah, they're ramping up the drug war. And he said the Western Hemisphere. This wasn't Mexico or, you know, Afghanistan, where now we suddenly have huge poppy production since we invaded there. The heroin coming out of Afghanistan is huge now. So under the guise of the war on drugs, and did you hear the military hardware that's being rolled out in this campaign into the Western Hemisphere? Now, again, this is following a few days earlier where Bob Barr comes out and says, we've unsealed indictments against Maduro and other members of his regime. You know, we call it a regime when it's a target of our country. And now we're doing this drug interdiction. And then Mark Esper, you know Mark Esper, right? He's the current Secretary of Defense, former Raytheon top lobbyist. He had something to add during this press conference as well.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today as we make this very important announcement. At a time when the nation and the Department of Defense are focused on protecting the American people from the spread of the coronavirus, we also remain vigilant to the many other threats our country faces. Today, at the President's direction, the Department of Defense, in close cooperation with our interagency partners, began enhanced counter-narcotics operations in the Eastern Pacific Ocean and the Caribbean Sea. This initiative is part of the administration's whole-of-government approach to combating the flow of illicit drugs into the United States and protecting the American people from their scourge.
There you go. They are going to use the war on drugs to topple the Maduro regime in Venezuela. Trump announced 22 nations are going to participate in this exercise. You know, there's a lot of countries we boss around and say, you're either with us or against us, and you don't want to get in the crosshairs of the U.S. empire. They are actually under the... And see, this is after many failed attempts. The failed coup attempt with Juan Guaido, where we just named somebody else president of Venezuela, completely ignoring the Venezuelans, and we just picked this guy out. He's in secession and he'll play ball with us. So we just named him president. Nicolas Maduro's been in charge of Venezuela ever since. Yet even the media will report the psychological operation of calling Juan Guaido the rightful president of Venezuela, where nobody in Venezuela actually thinks he's the president, but we think he is. The failed coup to install Guaido and overthrow Nicolas Maduro, they've decided to take another tact. And while everybody is paying attention to coronavirus and COVID-19 and quarantines and hospitals overrun and all the rest of the chaos, the economy shut down, they are going to actually use, at least, I mean, again, I got to give them some credit. They've gotten so lazy on some of this stuff. You know, in Syria, they kept saying Assad gassed his own people. That's why we kept staying in Syria. But they kept using the same one over and over again. At least this is a new twist on things. They are going to use the war on drugs and tell you that they're just concerned about the flow of illegal narcotics. So they're sending warships to the Eastern Pacific and the Caribbean Sea. They are targeting Venezuela. And this is how they're going to do this overthrow of the Venezuelan government, it looks like, right now. And it's going to be while the American people are so distracted. They're going to tell you, oh, this is just a drug interdiction crackdown. Really? That's what our problem is right now? The entire U.S. economy is shut down. 10 million people have filed for unemployment. The hospitals appear to be overrun, but I'm beginning to even wonder about that. There's all kinds of things going on here we should be concerned with, but you've got your former Raytheon lobbyist, Mark Esper, coming and tell you that they're committed to drug interdiction right now. Now, I know what a lot of you are saying is, well, Mike, just because we're experiencing this, this is a time where we really need to pay attention because our enemies will seek to exploit our weakness right now. We can't keep our eye off of our enemies. And to that I say, well, wouldn't it be nice then if we didn't have so many dang enemies? They're not natural enemies. Venezuela has done nothing to the United States. Iran has done nothing to the United States. Syria has done nothing to the United States. Libya has done nothing to the United States. Iraq did nothing to the United States. And Afghanistan, at a stretch, you can say that they harbored some al-Qaeda fighters, but as a country, did nothing to the United States. These would not be enemies unless we created them into enemies. But we'll watch this. This operation, if they're really moving these warships down to surround Venezuela right now, this thing may already have been greenlit. And we're about to see a regime change war in Venezuela under the guise of the drug war. It's absolutely bizarre. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Yeah.
feel this is as good a time as any to discuss this particular thing I've been seeing that is arising around the United States, and I'm kind of empathetic to this idea. But how do you feel about China right now in the face of this pandemic? Because I hear a lot of people who are really mad at China for a couple of big reasons, mainly because that's where the virus started. Does that make you mad? And they might have let it escape a biolab there. I think there's very real possibility of that. And then because they lied about it and continued to lie about exactly what was going on, which might have given us more time to respond to this. I'll make the argument constantly. The government never does anything well, so I don't even know if much more time would have helped us. But they've definitely lied about their statistics and what exactly took place over there. So it left us kind of flat-footed on our response. So what do you think about China right now? What's your impression of them? Now, I hope most people can separate out the Chinese people who are living under this totalitarian, oppressive, communist government and the Chinese government. You should be mad with the Chinese government if that's the issue, not Chinese people. But still, we're not happy with China right now. And if China accidentally released this thing on the world, that's going to make people angry at them. And from what I read and from what I hear people discussing, they're very mad at China. They want to make sure that we target China. We always mention they like it when Trump calls it the Chinese virus, because we need to name and shame. And then I don't know what we're going to do to them, but you're angry at China right now, right? Now, did they do this on purpose? And some probably think maybe they did. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because it would be the worst attack ever, because it crushed their own economy. And China was rising as a world superpower, but their debt problems are like our debt problems. They're a house of cards in China, too. It's just, you want to talk about some phony baloney money over there. They've got some real problems. So I find it hard to believe they did this on purpose starting in Wuhan. Now, would a country like China send a virus over to the United States to start it over here? I wouldn't put that past them. They're a horrible, horrible government. But it took them down first, so it looks like that's where it started. It's now spread across the world through travel, and it's coming back there now if you read some of the reports. So most likely this was just an escaped virus out of the Wuhan lab. And maybe it was natural, but either way, nobody's happy with China right now. You're all mad at China. Now, what should we do? Should we retaliate them? I've heard a lot of people, and some politicians have even been floating the idea that we should demand reparations, trillions of dollars in reparations from China. Do you think that that's what we should do? Should we just cut off all relations with them? Now, I don't really know what the best course of action is, but I can understand everybody blaming them for releasing this virus, and especially for lying about it and putting us in this situation. Then you're mad at China. Understandable. But as you survey our country with thousands of people dying in this country right now from this virus, from China, with our hospitals full and overstretched, and the media reporting on these doctors and nurses that don't have the equipment they need, and they're overstretched, and there's bodies in the hallways, and with our economy quickly dying right now, as you survey our country, and you think to yourself, that China, how dare they? Can we now understand just a tiny little bit of what it feels like in countries that we have invaded or countries that we have sanctioned to death? In the countries where we've moved in to topple their governments, endless rounds of sanctions in places like Iran and in Venezuela and in Syria. Do you see what it feels like? And see how mad you are at China because they may have accidentally released a virus. Now, maybe you believe they did this on purpose. Again, I don't quite get that, because I think they could have been a little more clever about it. Unless, you know, coming out of the biolab, someone goes, here, go take this to the great Satan America. And he goes, oh, okay. And he puts it in his backpack, and then he drops his backpack and, you know, something like out of a movie. Oops, I infected our country first. But as we're all mad at China and blaming them for destroying our economy, for destroying our healthcare system, for canceling our kids' soccer games and our weddings, the countries like Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Yemen, and Iran and Venezuela have had years of this kind of economic devastation that you're seeing right here. Years of a failing medical system. Years of supply and medicine shortages in these areas, too. They have loss of basic services like water and electricity after these invasions and sanctions because they can't get parts for their infrastructure to keep electricity flowing. They lose their weddings and their soccer games, their graduations, just like we're seeing right now. Their businesses go under. When we first laid the heaviest of sanctions on Iran, I saw stories about coffee shop owners in Iran. They're dressed in Western clothes, no big bushy beards, no blah, 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 none of that stuff. It's people who opened coffee shops and they were getting crushed by U.S. sanctions. And of course, add to that in these other countries, they run the risk of being blown to bits or having their relatives blown to bits in bombing campaigns. We're 3 weeks into this economic disruption and we are all freaking out about this, watching everything around us just change. And we don't even have to run for our lives every time a siren goes off during the day. And we don't have to deal with foreign troops in our country. Now, many people, if you haven't heard the show before, sounds anti-American. Sounds like you're against the troops. No, I'm against the psychopaths in our country that inflict the kind of pain we're seeing right now, but worse, on these other countries that have not done anything to us. So I'm just wondering if for now, for just a brief moment, we can kind of understand the chaos that the psychopaths in our government have been inflicting on country after country after country, because we seem to be so excited about, and I am narrating, I think I am showing this new Venezuela operation in live time. They're going after Venezuela now. And Venezuela is a failed socialist state. Every country that tries socialism fails, yes. But we've just exacerbated it with horrible sanctions and cutting them off from the world's oil markets. And I just wonder if there's just this 1 ounce of humanity in us. It just feels to me like a teachable moment where right now, more than ever, we may be able to feel some level of empathy for those people halfway around the world that are not messing with us. That when we inflict this kind of economic damage, this kind of societal damage, when we destroy their countries, destroy their schools, take away all their social life, destroy their infrastructure, cause medical shortages, you see what's happening right now? Do you see the tears in the eyes of the nurses on television or the people who have lost loved ones? We can feel this now. It's the closest thing we've ever had to us being on the receiving end of a war. Trump's known as a wartime president. And you're mad at China, and I get that. It's very understandable. But what do you expect the people of these countries to feel for America or anybody who doesn't hate these countries along with us, that watches our empire go in and crush nation after nation after nation? They don't like us either. They think we're inflicting this stuff voluntarily. This virus, I don't think it's intentional. Maybe it was, but it may have been a mistake that released this thing. And still, we're furious with China. We want, as I can't remember the congressman who said it, he wants trillions of dollars of reparations from China. Well, does that open a little bit of a can of worms for us and all of these countries that we have strangled with sanctions and invaded and destroyed their economies? Would we not be on the hooks for trillions of dollars of reparations to these countries? Anyway, I just think it's a time that people maybe could think about that and we can rediscover some level of humanity and go, oh my gosh, now I can kind of feel what those people go through. Now, if you have an unhinged hate for Muslims or people who live in a socialist country who voted for a socialist because they're dumb. You know, socialism's like any other government thing. Socialist politicians are politicians. They go out to the people. And I don't think there's a country in the world that has a really large, smart voting population. They go to the people and say, hey, if you let a socialist take over, everything's going to be better. We're going to give you this and give you that and give you this and give you that. Doesn't make them bad people. It just makes them dumb. They're trying something that's failed over and over again. Of course, we're trying it right now with what we're doing. But anyway, I'm going to bring it up. While we're going through this chaos, it just seems like the one time the bright thing could come out of this is we could say, you know what? Not in my name. I don't want to inflict this on other innocent people halfway around the world just because some psychopath gets in front of a podium in Washington, D.C. and tells me that we need to go and destroy another nation. Something to think about if you think.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Uh-oh, is all I can say. You know, I'm reporting on this Venezuela stuff. I just did a little bit of searching during the break to see exactly what kind of military hardware is being sent down there. They're saying that this is the largest military operation since the U.S. invaded Panama and ousted General Manuel Noriega. Now, do you know who wrote the legal justification for the Noriega invasion? Anyone? Anyone? William Barr. William Barr wrote the legal justification for the Noriega invasion. And now he's sitting in the exact same seat as Attorney General to the United States as we make this move on Nicolas Maduro. Pandemic, economy shutdown. Oh, it's always still a good time for regime change. I believe by the time I get back to this Friday segment next week, we will have orchestrated some operation to actually go in and get Nicolas Maduro. At this time, this is crazy. The United States is under the most severe economic and, I guess, health thing in 100 years. And they are orchestrating a drug interdiction operation into Venezuela. Absolutely unbelievable. I had a caller during the break kind of made up a good point. I said that, now, I don't know. He kind of brought this up. I'll be honest, I just hadn't been paying attention. He said that the state of Mississippi has not extended their time for filing taxes. I should have looked this up. I ran out of commercial break just then, but I should have looked it up to see. But, you know, point he made was that a lot of times, a lot of people in Mississippi get refunds from the federal government, but they have to pay state taxes. Boy, I tell you what, you want to take a bad situation to make it worse? Flip that on its head. People that don't have refunds yet, hadn't filed taxes on the federal side yet, but have to pay the state taxes. I didn't know that they had not extended them, and maybe they have. I don't know, but it does bring up a good point. As I stand on taxation, look, I'm pretty soft on the state for collecting taxes because we're just miles away from the state capital. If you want to change tax code, Mississippi's taxes are not really bad. State taxes to me are something that are at least constitutional and somewhat justified, and we actually have a say in it. I just hate federal income tax withholding. I think it is unconstitutional. I think they waste the money. And the bottom line is that what we're seeing right now, if it's okay for the Federal Reserve to print up $4 trillion and shove it into the banking system and to the biggest corporations to buy their corporate debt, if that's okay, if the $2.2 trillion stimulus package, dang it, I did it again. I called it to see they're getting me, bailout package. I'm not going to fall for their little trick of pretending this is stimulus. This is a bailout package. If their $2.2 trillion bailout package, they can just print up money for, so that gets us to $6.2 trillion there. And now they're looking at a $2 trillion infrastructure program. We don't have any money for that. So that's another printed. That's another $2 trillion. That's $8.2 trillion. If it's no problem printing up $8.2 trillion, then why don't they just print up the money that people normally send in individual income taxes? I mean, why do they have to pick our pockets and make us suffer financially, individually, every single year if it's okay to just print the money? Just print the money to fill up the hole where personal income taxes used to be and leave us alone. If it works, let's use it. Of course, it doesn't work, and that's why they don't use it. Anyway, we got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. I heard it was a magic printing press. It was like a magic wand that all you had to do is just wave it and creates money out of thin air.
You know, I was I was doing payroll at a company one time that had a massive hiring surge for a project. And I remember doing this payroll, and, you know, it was at, say, $10,000 a week when I was processing payroll. Then they did this payroll surge, and it went up to, like, $50,000 a week. And I was processing all these transactions. And even though, you know, I've owned businesses, so when I've owned businesses, you're always very cognizant of the money going out. This wasn't my money, but I still had this really uneasy feeling inside of me going, oh, my gosh, we are spending so much money. The reason I bring that up is because I'm wondering if the guy or the gal, I don't want to be sexist, the guy or the gal who is manning the computer at the Federal Reserve, the magic computer, and they're entering all these billions and tens and hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars into that computer. I wonder if even they are going, oh, my God, what are we doing?
Yeah, wouldn't it be easier if we could just use a copy machine, just take $5 and $20 bills and stick it on a copy machine and... You know, that would be the greatest stimulus. We won't even have to wait for a check.
Right. Yeah. Just let us do it. You know, send us the software. Let us print it. Hell, I'll loan you some money and you can loan me some money. We can both collect interest on it. I mean, you know,
well, we could really generate this economy there, you know, really go to town spending. I could buy all kinds of stuff. I could, you know, but that's the fallacy of the whole thing. You know, the demonstrating the absurd with the absurdity. You know, it never works, but that's what they're doing. They're actually doing the same thing, creating money out of thin air, basically counterfeiting. That's what they're doing.
Yes.
They're counterfeiting.
Yes, it is counterfeiting.
There's no consequences for them counterfeiting, but let you or me get a hold of one of these dies or whatever, and let's start cranking out 20s. Oh, you're going to go to jail under Leavenworth.
Well, that's because we're not in the club. We're not the special. We're not the chosen. These people can do whatever they want to, and I mean... You know, it's just so bad. I am just stunned. And this is where I'm saying I don't understand where the conservatives are. Where are they?
Well, I don't think many people understand the principles of the monetary system. It's like what Ford said: if people understood our monetary system, we'd overthrow the government tomorrow.
But people understood. I mean, I know conservatives who were very against the bailouts for the last 10 years, and even under George W. Bush, I mean, that was the Tea Party. The Tea Party rose out of what we're seeing right now, a fraction of what we're seeing right now. This is surpassed Tea Party 2008 crisis by multitudes by now. You know, we're already in the, you know, we're approaching $10 trillion in bailouts right now. Where are the conservatives that launched the Tea Party back then?
Well, here's the line that kind of gets under my skin in a way, and don't take it the wrong way, but when we say we're creating, you know, tons of debt that our children and grandchildren will have to pay back, you know, that's given the premise that all of a sudden one day we're going to become, you know, conscious and, you know, actually use money wisely, that we'll say, okay, now we're in deep debt, we're going to have to cut our spending and start using all of our tax money to pay back the debt. That's never going to happen. We're
right.
Never going to become, you know, conscious and I mean, what we're working towards is the destruction of the dollar.
Right, and really, you're exactly right, and I try to kind of throw that in. When I say our children, our grandchildren are going to pay for it, I don't necessarily mean, I don't think we're never going to pay this debt off. Taxes are going to go up, but they are going to suffer the consequences of living in a bankrupted country. You don't have the same quality of life in a bankrupted country as you have when things are humming along and you're the economic engine of the world. They've squandered us being the economic engine of the world by saddling us with all this debt, and our children are going to inherit a second or third tier country.
One thing that's kept us from going into hyperinflation like it has in other countries like Germany, Zimbabwe, Argentina, is the petrodollar, the fact that, you know, other countries buy our dollar to trade, but they don't necessarily spend it like we do in consumer goods. And so that creates more dollars that aren't really necessarily being used, you know, in the consumer market. But if and that's one of the reasons I think we've gone to all of these wars, is the different countries that said, you know, look, we're going to get away from the dollar and use gold or our currency or the international basket of goods, then we all decide we need to go to war, that they're a dictator or something like that. And all of these wars are basically to protect the dollar.
Yeah, I agree with that. But here's the problem, because I have that conversation with a lot of people, and I think you're right. The reason that we're so reliant on the petrodollar is because of the debt. Because if we are the largest economic engine on planet Earth, Saudi Arabia and oil producing countries would want to do business with us. You know, if you were, it's a free capitalistic world, if we were just the prosperous country that we could be without being saddled with all this debt, if this makes sense, I don't believe you have to have this formal arrangement where you say, okay, well, Saudi Arabia, just tell us who to go attack and we'll attack them because you'll keep taking the dollar. I think the dollar would maintain its dollar reserve status if we were just a strong nation like we were in the 40s and 50s when this first thing started. We're actually endangering the petrodollar by taking on all the debt to fight the wars, if that makes sense. I know that's even confusing coming out of my mouth, but I believe you're exactly right. It's just I don't think it's necessary. I think it is all to service debt.
I think, and I can't remember the agreement. You probably do remember the agreement. I think it was in 71 that we'd made with Saudi Arabia. But one of the terms of the agreement that we would keep the dollar solid, that we would maintain a stable dollar, you know, for them to trade. So we're basically have broken our agreement.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Saudi Arabia, so they're actually very justified in saying, you know, we're no longer going to use the dollar. But, you know, I have several friends who understand the economy a lot more than I do, and I keep asking, well, what's going to be the thing that causes all this to break loose? And, you know, they mention that, you know, and I don't understand how it hadn't already broke loose already.
Well, we're going to have our Wile E. Coyote moment. I was talking to a friend last night. The Federal Reserve and the Treasury are going to hand-in-hand print us to a point because we don't know where it's going to break. And we're not going to approach that limit with prudence, you know, slowly saying, can we do a little bit more? No, we are going to be at a flat-out sprint and then suddenly realize we've already gone too far. And that's going to be the problem. What you just mentioned, then it was 1973 when we agreed on the petrodollar. So I'm just going to make this point, and then I got to take a break. What happened was we ended up going into mass. After World War II, we paid down the debt. We went from 116% of debt to GDP down to 30%. Because we were still a prudent nation with some level of sanity. Then the Vietnam War comes along and the Great Society comes along and they start funding that and realize that they're going bankrupt. So in 1971, they take us off the dollar standard, I mean, off the gold standard with the dollar, you know, temporarily is what Nixon said. And then they saw the problems of the U.S. dollar. So they made this deal with Saudi Arabia to try to prop the dollar up, but still not have any restraints on spending. They severed the reliance on gold, which actually made us a strong currency and the world reserve currency. We severed that and tried to substitute it with this Saudi OPEC arrangement for the petrodollar. And then we've just abused it ever since. That's the problem. And eventually that's going to shake out too. Anyway, it's fascinating. I could talk about it for hours. I don't know if people are interested or not, but they're going to be interested soon enough because we're going to see the consequences of this. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, I got to take a quick break, and then I'm only going to have a couple minutes left, but I have got the funniest, you know, look back at the week on the lunatic left. This is one of the most bizarre ones I've ever seen, but I find it hilarious. We'll do that when I come back. Stay with me. All night
with the King.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right. right, final segment here, last couple of minutes. I'm just going to remind you, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out in Gluckstadt, your pie. You got till 5 o'clock to get out there and enjoy something out on the patio or something, or pick up some food at any time. They'll still be doing takeout orders. It's just fantastic food, very reasonably priced, veteran-owned business. Pastas, paninis, pizzas, salads. You know, we really need to support these local businesses, and your pie is just one of my favorites. Love the owners, love the atmosphere, just really a big fan. So please support your pie through this difficult time and your other locally owned restaurants. Keep your powder dry, buy some gift certificates to some of these places, and let's help them the best we can. The government's going to mess this up for everybody, so it's up to us to try to help our own community. I usually do. I look back at the week of the Lunatic Left, kind of a long segment to finish up the weekend, finish up the week, heading into the weekend, so we have a laugh. I've got a bizarro one. Look, I got to do this really quick. Joe Biden, I just can't believe for a second he's going to make it to the election. He's completely inconsequential during this particular time. Nobody's paying attention to anything he says. I don't know where he is. I don't care. I'm not even going to play any clips of him today. His heir apparent, what everybody's looking to now is that Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, has handled the pandemic so well that he is a rising star on the Democratic side. He's always been one of their kind of establishment people. And so the idea is that they're going to swap out Joe for Andrew Cuomo. Now, I think a lot of people have kind of respected the way he's handled this. I haven't paid that much attention, but he's okay. I mean, I don't like politicians anyway, so it's a high bar for me. He did a press conference the other day. Here is the lunatic left side of things. He did a press conference the other day. He did it in a short sleeve golf shirt, kind of one of those kind of sheer shirts. The pictures of it suggest that the possible front runner for the Democratic National Committee's president has got his nipples pierced. Have you seen these pictures? I encourage you to go look at them and have a good laugh at some point this weekend. It looks like he has got rods through his nipples that showed through on his golf shirt. Unless the pictures I saw were completely doctored, and there's always that possibility, so I apologize if that's the case. It's still funny, even if that's the case, but I don't think it is. I think the guy just exposed he's got rods through his nipples, and this is going to be your new leader for the Democratic nomination. It gets crazier and crazier. Look, have a great weekend. Be careful out there. We'll see what the world looks like on Monday. See you then. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.